Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use today and every day. Oh my goodness, so much going on in our neighborhood and in our region. Yesterday, I don't know about you friends, but seeing that orange glow everywhere all throughout the day, it was like it was messing with my head a little bit. Like, is this night? Is it day? What's going on? Is it the apocalypse? There's lots of questioning going on, and certainly a lot of people rolling up their sleeves and making a difference today. And I'm so proud. I am so proud to be an Oregonian and all the people that are making a difference. I constantly on my Facebook stream last night, I was watching people going places, doing things, rounding up stuff, trying to be of assistance and help. And yet there was a lot of information that was big information gaps, and shared a bunch of things on our Facebook page, just trying to stay on top of it. In a conversation with a couple of our others, with our engineer and with Terry Soul and Dave Smith, we decided we're going to go a couple hours this morning and just try to keep the information flowing as much as we can, keep the stories, find out what people are doing to make a difference. And in the studio with me, my co-host today is Dave Smith. Thank you for joining me this morning. We're having fun so far, aren't we?
Good morning,
oh,
yes.
Oh, man, all kinds of information. Now, Dave, with your real estate background and, you know, in touch with a lot of people, not only looking for property to buy, but also are selling a property. What are you hearing on the streets? Tell me about your day yesterday and what happened with your day and where you live. You guys were even alerted where you're living.
Yeah, we're over in Turner ourselves. Yesterday was scheduled to be a normal real estate day. We had photos scheduled and home inspections and stuff like that. But obviously, with the hue of the weather yesterday, mm-hmm. you couldn't do that. And just with everything else going on, a couple real estate agents and myself, we all diverted our plans and started doing other stuff yesterday just to help out. It was crazy.
Yes, and my daughter's here visiting from Arkansas, and I said, I want to take you to this really cool breakfast place in Turner. And so we got in the car and we went over there, and it was not open, but we took pictures of the Turner breakfast. I don't even remember, Turnaround Cafe, mm-hmm. maybe is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And they were closed, but we took pictures of the orange sky around it, and it just was, I'm like, these are our communities that are being affected and what's going on. And at that point yesterday morning, I'd heard that Mill City was probably completely gone. What are you hearing about communities? What have you heard?
I've heard that some just through social media, there's some mm-hmm. outlying communities out towards Detroit Lake and where the fires are. There's been a lot of displacement. There's been a lot of, my wife and I were talking that the last time we showed a house in Gates might be the last time we showed a house in Gates.
Mm.
How crazy it is that communities like that can be, changed so quickly when you're not really expecting it.
Yes, and I have heard that Gates is completely gone. I heard Mill City as well, and I guess along where Lyons is, there's a lot of people that have been evacuated from their homes that they don't know the status. Again, there's not a lot of roads getting up into those areas. The good news is that there were some folks that they thought would be trapped. They were able to get about 50 folks out of the Detroit area and evacuated them. So lots of information, lots of people don't know what's going on, and we're trying to be a source of information and let people know that there is some needs. And I want to do a shout out to our friends at Honky Tonk Bar and Grill here in town. They have put together a team of folks that have been building. They did an update. I asked her to, I know she was working until late last night, and they did an update for us, and I'll share this with you on what they did yesterday. When early on they started putting together resources, and I just think that's incredible. She says, Diana from Honky Tonk Bar and Grill, of course, she's been on the radio with us here. She said, we made about 150 sandwiches, waters, chips, and cookies, apples. We took them to the state fairgrounds in Sublimity in Lyons. We picked up, she took them to Staten. That's what it was. And we picked up hay for someone who wanted to donate it to the fairgrounds, ran it to the fairgrounds, and did other deliveries. We also picked up food from another restaurant that didn't know what to do, and they wanted to help. Tomorrow we'll do it all over again. Lyons Fire Department called, and they want help with food. And so did the National Guard, which now has been called up. And that was the other thing. It took a while for them to get a call up, but they've been called up. So we're taking donations at the Honky Tonk in cash to buy more supplies. All of the other stuff mentioned, pet food as well. I think there's hay needed and feed for those that have animals at the fairground. Anybody who needs to use their parking area for RVs or trailers can park at the Honky Tonk, and also corrals to help with animals. If they need to stay at the restaurant itself, you know, they're opening up. And so that's one business that's rolling up their sleeves and doing things. I know that there are people who've offered their fields. They're already cut. There's no hay anymore. They can park their RVs there. So people are rolling up their sleeves. What kinds of things? I know you talked about the Red Cross. What do you know about the Red Cross?
I know I believe in Lane County too, or Lynn County. Also here in Salem, they have the Jackman Long Building. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of people who were displaced there yesterday, with a lot of kind of the hub of people dropping off resources. We had people coming in. It was cool. We were there yesterday helping out with some stuff. It was cool seeing truck after truck after truck. It was people just dropping stuff off. And that the resources that they need, I mean, the things that they need, obviously, are the toiletries, toilet paper, stuff like that. But what a lot of the things that they talked about when we had a chance to pull people aside, the directors and stuff, and chat, volunteers. They have a lot of people who have just gone from their home to now they're in a big conference building just sitting there by themselves in some mildly comfortable chairs.
Right.
And they have no one to talk to, no one to kind of help. So volunteers to go out there and help be that is something that they still need.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cool to see all the different types of companies that were contributing. We saw I saw an ad for a trailer company. Had a brand new horse trailers in Harrisburg. And they were letting people come pick up trailers and go out and, you know, rescue horses or do things like that. So to see everyone kind of step up, especially with all the negativity over the last several months, to see a little bit of a transition was a really cool thing to be a part of.
Well, and even though that's tragic and all this stuff is going on, what's so neat for me and reassuring is seeing the community happen. You know, yesterday, several live stream broadcasts that Amy Ryan Corser, she did some actual live feeds on Facebook showing all of the community and all what's happening and doing a call to action. And within a short amount of time, she rounded up about 70 volunteers and certainly people bringing in water and things like that. And I know our natural go-to when there's crisis, especially a fire, is the Red Cross, and they've been stressed out as it is in this pandemic things going on now this. So we've got to do what we can do to be involved. I'm curious if there's anybody listening this morning that has an update on your personal situation. If you've been evacuated, where are you going? Do you stay with friends and family? Do you have another house somewhere? If you want to call in and be a part of the show and give us an update this morning, we'd love to hear from you. 503-589-1220 is our studio line. We have been hearing from people that are on hold, people in like the Staten area that have been said, okay, you need to prepare, and they are moving over to Silverton, or they're moving over to the west side of Salem, I've heard, higher ground, you know, on the other side of the river. The good news is it seems like, from what I can tell from watching the morning news and also looking online, is that the winds are working favorably, meaning they're not continuing to blow it in the direction of Salem and Turner and Silverton. But even just the other day, I took my daughter to Silver Creek Falls, or Silver Falls. I want to call it Silver Creek Falls. I don't know why. Silver Falls. And we did some hiking and things and exploring. And as the afternoon went on, you could see the wind shift and you could see the ash starting to fall. And I'm like, something strange is really going on. I knew there were fires like up above Detroit, but I had no idea what the winds were changing then. In that short amount of time from coming up the canyon from the falls into the car, the ash started falling on the car. And driving back to Salem, the wind had picked up even more and branches were starting to fall down. And so there's a lot of speculation as to how these fires got started in our particular area. But it's not just our area here up Highway 22 and Santiam Valley and up into Detroit Gates.
Even down the McKenzie.
McKenzie is having issues. There's some evacuation going on as well in Clackamas. Clackamas County is really bad. I got a text from my friend Michelle, and they had to evacuate, and they were alerted, but now they're evacuating. And so this is something that is happening, you know, and they've got animals and she's got family still in the home. And so I think this raises some questions, and I was going to ask you, Dave, you know, you're in real estate and you're helping people get prepared, you know, to move into that next home or sell, and maybe they're downsizing or whatever. But if someone's under evacuation, you know, you think about what's the first thing you grab, right? Or what kinds of things should they be thinking about, even when you think about insurance and replacement things? What can help us with that?
The what to grab list was definitely a hot conversation yesterday. A tip that we got, one thing we did is we called our insurance agent right away to see, like, what coverage do we have? And unfortunately, he was dealing with a lot of claims from lots of people recently.
Right.
Going through that. And one tip we got that we would have normally overlooked is go through your home, take pictures, open up your cabinets, take videos, just show what you have if you're evacuating before you leave. Just to have that on record, to take kind of a mental note. That way you don't have to worry about all the other stuff. But a lot of people who are leaving just, to each their own, but I can't imagine the list of things that you would want to grab,
right,
the important things, and trying to make those decisions. It's a tough
spot. Well, I know from my own personal experience as a kid in high school, we lived on the other side of Ilahi out off of River Road, and we had our garage caught on fire. Our washer and dryer were out in the garage, and my brothers didn't clean the lint, and it caught on fire, and we were actually asleep. The kids were, parents were out having coffee with friends, and we were like, there's a fire, get up. You know, it's like the worst case scenario. And we were running out the house down the hill. And fortunately, they were able to stop it before it spread to our house, and we lost our garage. But just that panic in that moment, what do you grab? What do you bring with you? You know, and so having a plan and videotaping, and also in your garage, your tools and all of those kinds of things, go through not only your home, but also your garage or your barns or things like that, I think is really important. You want to have your identifying information, of course, and your banking information, and as much of that as you can. But so much of that is on our phone anymore, right? So those are things that you can, practical things that you can do. And then the other side of that is knowing where you would go. You know, we even talked about this yesterday, if it came into Salem, because we don't live too far from 22 and we had to be evacuated. We don't have we have some family and friends, but where would we go? You know, what would our plan be? And we have guests right now in our home. So, you know, that does make you think. What is your plan? You guys were alerted in Turner. You have extended family that you would go to?
We have family and friends up and down the valley. Some are in better places as far as distance from more fires and things like that, and some are than others. The fairgrounds is a big spot that I've heard that a lot of people have been going to. There's a list I saw that the Salem Leadership Foundation put out. That had a list of the majority of them. Looking at the list now, they're all churches. Have really been opening up a lot of their larger facilities, their sanctuaries, their school areas, things like that, for overflow from people. That way, not everyone's getting crammed into the same spot. So there's lots of opportunity out there. You just got to reach out and find the resources. But there's having a plan in place. We've talked to several clients, just checking in, seeing how people are doing, and people we know, we help buy homes in some of these areas. And a lot of them are with family up and down the valley, and some have large acreage. They have several campers and lots of other people bringing horses to their property. So there's a really cool community aspect when you get a chance to do what I do for a living and talk to your clients.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use today and every day. In the studio with me, Dave Smith, and we are talking about what's going on in our region with all the fires and the community rallying together to help and be of assistance of those who are evacuated. And Dave, you have a list there of some places that people can go to, some churches, I believe, and this was on the Salem Leadership Foundation list. Go ahead and name some of those.
Yeah, so in addition to the fairgrounds for kind of overflow, they have Trinity Covenant, Our Savior's Lutheran, South Salem Church of the Nazarene, Family Life, Fellowship Church, Praise Church, Faith Baptist, Salem First Presbyterian, Capitol Park Wesleyan, West Salem Christian Church, Morning Star Community Church, Salem Evangelical Church, Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Salem, Kaiser Church, Christian Church, New Hope for Foursquare, Countryside Church, and Outward Church. So all those places are overflow.
And I want to encourage you, if you're involved in any of those churches and want to give us an update, we encourage you to give us a call this morning, 503-589-1220. Let us know what's going on and what kind of assistance that you need. You were sharing with me kind of during the break here, Dave, that yesterday, just how it just kind of snowballed in a sense of help. What you got this idea and you put a shout out, hey, I'm heading somewhere, and tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, we got our house taken care of, so we were just going to head to Walmart and meet up with some folks and grab supplies, and then we ended up diverting over to Costco, and between then and Costco, just from one Facebook post, we had a lot of people in our community to start sending donations.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to do, in the course of probably 3 or 4 hours, four full truck beds full of stuff dropped off to the fairgrounds, from coloring books and paper and just little things to keep people busy and puzzles and stuff, mm-hmm. like that, to the necessities and shout, because when you're running out of a house, I'm sure you're not thinking, where's my deodorant?
Right.
And things like that. So we got a lot of cool stuff like that. Once we ran into Amy Corser, mm-hmm. spent some time with her. The sense of community, there's a family there that mom and daughter, they just got here from Utah, moved here 2 weeks ago, and she didn't have anything else going on, didn't know many people in the community. So she's been there all morning. She's there again today.
Wow.
She's just been there, and we spent 2 hours with her randomly just loading up trucks. So
yep.
It's cool to see the different types of people in the community just popped up and just showed up just to serve, and people from competing fields, people from never met, just showing up for one common thing, and just things that would not have really brought people together before.
Well, and the thing that's so interesting, so many businesses have been so impacted by COVID and been closed down, and feeling like, what can I do in the community? And here's something, that an opportunity to really roll up our sleeves and get involved and get engaged. Now, my understanding that there's some complication because of the COVID guidelines. Did you see much of that? I mean, did you see people like, oh, stay 6 feet apart and those kinds of things? What were you experiencing?
I know, I believe it was Marion States from Sublimity. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of their members there, and they were kind of off to the side, just away from people without masks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure to protect them.
Right.
They're more at risk.
Right.
There wasn't that. I mean, there was masks and everything like that, but you couldn't tell who was wearing a mask because of the ash, or who was wearing a mask because of COVID. But more, you could tell people were just there for the need and just to bring stuff in. It was cool to see businesses that being through the COVID and paying attention to what businesses are struggling,
mm-hmm.
to go from that to seeing those same businesses that I know for a fact were struggling, and hearing donations that they were making, was really cool to see people who aren't out of the woods yet still helping people and helping their community.
Willing to do and go that extra mile, and that's what makes our community so incredibly unique, and the strength and the resolve of individuals. I know we're going to pull through to the other side. We don't even know how complex, how many lives are being affected. Even friends of ours connected to the radio station here, you know, no status. They don't know if their house is standing or not, you know, and until people are safely able to get back up in there, we don't even know the extent of the damage. We have no clue. And then we have our frontline guys, and we talked a little bit about this the last segment, is that the National Guard, I think, officially now has been called to assist, but I've heard things, speculations about it can't really fight a fire when the winds are so high. And so welcome anybody, if anybody's working on the front lines or knows some folks that are working on the front lines that would like to give us a report, you're welcome to call in 503-589-1220. Maybe you're evacuated and you want to give an update on how you guys are coping or what you're doing or any word that you heard. We would love to hear from you. Or maybe you've been volunteering. Maybe you've done some things yesterday, kind of like Dave and Paige were like, well, I don't know what to do, but let's just start moving. And then the momentum grew and people were donating. And I know yesterday when I went to Winco, I could not believe there was no water all the bottled water, all the distilled water, all of that was gone. I'm like, even for our own homes, because there is the need for water and our water systems, it may be interesting to see over the next few weeks. And so I thought, well, I'll grab some extra water. And I'm like, oh boy, there is no water to be found, right? And so just as I pull up to the cash register, it's a really interesting story. I don't think it's a coincidence, but anyway, I look down and there's two extra water gallons just right there on the ground. Right at the cash register, I'm like, I don't think either someone forgot to put them up there to pay for them or whatever, but I definitely needed water, so I grabbed them, you know. So water's something that's very good to be dropped off, or also to have yourself, right, in your own home. What other ways can people be prepared?
I'm getting just some first aid kits, things like that, especially if you're in the risk of, you know, places that are level two, packing up some stuff that ready to go. Like myself yesterday, I went to my attic and got some keepsake stuff that there's no value that an insurance company could put on that.
Right.
So we set those by the door. Other than that, we just got flashlights and just normal stuff just to be prepared. And one thing we did is we changed our air filter, a little thing that a lot of people didn't think of. Air quality in your home with all the ash. We had a 2-week-old filter that looked like it had been there for months just from constant, because we were running our systems constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that, just paying attention, taking care of your home, not, you know, putting you or your family in a bad spot. We've just been trying to be prepared for whatever comes.
Well, and I think that's really important, and that might be a fun picture to put up on Facebook, too, your filters. Just the difference. You said there's only a two-week difference or that you put from putting it in or whatever. We've got someone coming into the studio now. He's looking all around. He's like, this is like early for him in the morning. I'm so proud that Terry Soule is here in the studio as well, joining us. And I don't know, I'm going to probably put him on the spot, but I'm going to get him on the mic here. Good morning, Terry. Can you give us a road report this morning?
Well, I can tell you right now that I came across and I went on the highway just to make sure, Highway 5, and traffic is pretty thick on Highway 5 in both directions right now.
Okay.
But the ash is continuing to fall all over the place.
Okay.
And you were talking about some of the folks that are out there. My son is a paramedic up in Portland, and he's finally going home today after 3 days straight on the job.
All right, we're going to go to break here, and then afterwards we'll get you back going on, Terry. Okay, we'll be back after this. Good morning to you. Certainly an interesting day today, September 9th, 2020, 7:35 in the morning. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with Dave Smith, and Terry Soule now has joined us in the studio. Terry, thank you for joining us. And it is interesting, you were talking about who is at the fairgrounds and rolling up their sleeves and getting involved. And, you know, someone that wasn't there is Kurt Schrader. No, he wasn't there.
You didn't see him there?
No, no.
Yeah, I was looking for him too.
Yeah,
I didn't see him
either. You know, but on the ground, and I know that we have, it's just part of who they are, our elected leaders and those even running, because they're part of the community. They've been engaged for years. Amy Corser was there rounding up volunteers, rounding up funds to help people. And this is just a part of who she is anyway. And she did some live updates. I don't know if you follow her on Facebook at all. We've shared some of them on our Facebook radio page as well, KSLM Radio. And Terry, you were talking about before we went into break that you've got family who's kind of on the front lines up in the Portland metro area. Tell us, give us an update on what's going on with him.
My son is a paramedic up there. And first of all, I know he's probably sleeping right now, so I can talk about him. But he went 2 days straight, and normally on when a paramedic gets a call, they always have the fire department back them up, and mainly for the manpower.
Right.
And they were told that you're on your own.
Wow.
And he was going from call to call, and they were code 3 calls, lights and siren calls, and he was telling me that we'd get on the scene, scoop them up, and take them, and drop them off the hospital and go and take the next call. So it was just call to call to call for 2 days straight. And he finally came home this morning and is just exhausted. But they've called him and says, okay, get a few hours sleep, and then you're coming back.
Wow.
And they just need the help up there.
And our front lines workers, I watched yesterday throughout town as we went out, and I took pictures of different areas of town yesterday that's been impacted. And the interesting thing is you see the police and the sheriff and the state troopers, and they're rushing, and they're, you know, you just wonder what's going on. And long lines getting gas. I don't understand. Maybe it's like the toilet paper thing. There were a lot of people getting gasoline, you know, making sure their vehicles are, maybe that's for evacuation. Long lines. Did you notice that too?
Yeah, there's a couple gas stations we saw that had really long lines due to some, the main thing they said was a lot of people were getting the portable gas cans for their generators and things like that.
Okay.
And that just takes so much more time to fill those things up.
And if you are going to use a generator, it's really important that you, first of all, keep the generator outside.
Mm.
Okay. And I know in the past where people have had problems with that. Well, they'll put the generator right there in their living room or family room and fire the thing up there. And then the fumes from that exhaust from the generator are deadly.
Mm.
So people need to know if you're going to use a generator. I asked my son, I says, because the lights were flickering, I said, you're going to use the generator? He goes, no. He says, I've gone to too many calls where people have used a generator. No, we're not going to use ours.
Oh, boy.
Sit there in the dark if we have to with flashlights and play games with the kids.
Well, and that's another phenomenon that's going on right now up in the metro area is a lot of power outages. Like they were saying, several thousands of people that didn't have power because of the high winds. They were worried that that would cause more fires. Is that basically what's going on?
Right. And you know what's kind of interesting, Stacey, is this Friday is the 19th anniversary of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back, I don't know where you were on 9/11. I mean, I was here in Salem, but the community and the country all got together.
Yes, we did.
We weren't fighting with the Democrats, the Republicans, the whoever's. Everybody got together and pulled together. And this is what it kind of is reminding me of.
It's the humanity.
Exactly.
It's raising up the awareness that we need one another, right?
Yeah.
And we are better together for real. And I agree with you. I was in Rapid City, South Dakota when that happened. And I remember Mount St. Helens. I lived here when Mount St. Helens.
Well, I'm not that old.
How that impacted the Pacific Northwest, and that, of course, that was in Washington. But the ash yesterday falling on the car reminded me of that.
And coming in today, I live in North Kaiser. Coming in today, there was ash all over the cars on my way in there, and I would stop at a stop line because it's still dark outside. You could see the ash coming down still.
Almost like snowflakes.
Yeah.
It's just the most bizarre thing.
Where do you live?
I live not about 5 minutes from here.
And Dave, where are you?
Turner.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
You had some nice time down there. But did any of you notice ash in your house? Even with the windows shut?
Oh, certainly he was talking about, remind us again of what you did with your filters.
Yeah, replacement, 2 weeks old air filter, and it looked like it was 6 months old.
Really?
It was just, it was dark gray, and so that's one thing we talked about earlier is telling people to replace your air filter. If you're going to be running that nonstop when you're in areas close to all that ash, start replacing that to get some clean air.
One of the things that my son had mentioned to me yesterday was these face masks. Everybody's using these goofy face masks that they have, the cloth ones and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He says, don't use those, Dad. He says, that does not filter out the ash and stuff in the air. He says, get those what do they call, N95s?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, that will filter out. So I'm wearing this thing, and I look like a fool wearing it, but I'd
well,
look like a fool then.
Those that have lung compromise issues or breathing issues already were struggling with wearing a mask to begin with. So to have the right mask is important. But yes, definitely you don't want to be breathing this in. And I know you've got some allergies, and I don't do real well around smoke and breathing issues. I can already tell in my voice that it's affecting me, just the air quality. So I really want to encourage people, if you don't have to be out and about today, don't you think it'd be a good day to
stay home
for your air quality and check your filter, right?
Yeah.
Well, and we're going to continue to have information as it comes in. And we encourage you, if you want to join the conversation this morning, if you have an update for us, we'd love to hear from you. 503-589-1220. We are going into 2 hours today. In fact, we're going to be live up until 9 a.m. this morning, just keeping the information flowing and hearing from you and what's going on. We're going to get some updates next hour. People calling in telling us how we can get involved. I want to remind you, if you want to donate certainly funds to help buy resources for the families that are displaced. And we've got all, families all over the place. They're at the fairgrounds. I think the Volcano Stadium, too. We haven't mentioned that this morning, is another place that families are going to. Certainly several churches, we've listed them. We put them on our Facebook pages, some resources. There are several communities that are on level two. And thanks to the Salem Reporter, they had listed some things that the Marion County Sheriff's Office had not had any updates since yesterday afternoon, but the canyon remains closed. Evacuation orders remain in effect for communities from Lyons to, and is it Idana?
Idana, yeah.
Okay. Sometimes I'm trying to figure out how to say some of these community names. Several communities remain on alert for a possible evacuation list level two be set to go if that's Staten, Sublimity, Onsville, Mount Angel, Oregon Highway 213. Silverton City officials posted on social media Tuesday evening, the city is aware that many people have voluntarily evacuated the city today. If you have a safe place where you can go, we encourage you to go there. Otherwise, please be prepared to leave at a moment's notice, right?
So, a good place to follow on social media if you're wanting more accurate updates and things like that is Metcom 911.
Oh.
It's a good group. They put out pretty good information, pretty accurate information for evacuations and things like that. They're pretty on the spot.
Okay, Metcom 911, and do they have like an alert system that'll alert your phone as well?
You can do that through your social media apps where they alert you based off certain people you follow. You get notifications on their posts.
Well, I do want to give a shout out to whoever's doing, you know, the different phone towers and internet and things. I know there was some outages and things, but for the most part through this, it seems like everything's been running really well, and that's a shout out and a kudos to those who are in that field, because think about that if we lost all of that ability to communicate network. What do you know, Terry? What are you finding out?
I basically listened to you guys earlier this morning on what to grab.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, this doesn't really answer your question, but last mm-hmm. night when Patty got home from work, she went in there and she started packing. And I thought, well, finally, after 30 years, you're leaving.
Oh.
And, didn't really say that too loud.
Right, right.
But she's packing stuff because my sister was evacuated. My sister lives in Staten, and she was evacuated. And I think actually today she's going to probably come and stay with us for a while.
Okay.
But what we've found out is that, like you were saying earlier, when you have to go, and you talked about that mm-hmm. with the fire at your mm-hmm. garage, when you have to go, you don't think of anything but getting the hell out of there.
Right.
And we took some photographs last night, and one of the things that we did was we backed up our hard drives onto an external hard drive.
Oh, good
so
idea.
So everything is on our hard drive right now, and that's in my briefcase, and so mm-hmm. if I need to leave, I've got everything mm-hmm. on there. And photographs, I mean, we've got photographs that go back to my grandparents and stuff, and that's all on the computer. So mm-hmm. everything is on our computer. So if we have to say this is what we lost, we've got it all on an external hard drive.
Well, that's a really good point, isn't it?
That'd be a good thing for businesses too, for some of the businesses in these smaller communities that are leaving. As you head out, take your computer towers, take mm-hmm. some of your servers, take pieces like that. That way you can make sure that your business gets to stay with you a little
yes.
bit more than just the materials with it.
Well, so many things are online anymore, backed up, and certainly important phone calls and people connecting. We do have someone on the line. This is cool. We're going to get an update here and invite them into the conversation. Good morning to you. Who are we talking to this morning?
Hey, Stacy, it's Baron Robinson.
Well, hello, Baron. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I heard you in Terry's voice, and you made a comment I thought was really good. Your listeners know that, you know, the people that are running for office, Danielle Bethel for Marion County Commissioner and Amy Lancaster, and they were down at the fairgrounds yesterday. That says a lot for these people.
Mm. Yes, it does, and it's not a stunt or a photo op. They're actually rolling up their sleeves, and they're bringing who they know and what they know to the table. I'm impressed with that, too.
I did see a video clip that Danielle Bethel put about midnight, and she was just asking for some more people to, you know, bring things down for the animals, and then she was going to get a couple hours sleep, and she's right back at it again this morning, so these guys are running for office here, and they're not sitting in Washington, D.C. or wherever. They're right at the fairgrounds helping out.
Yes, very, very true. And I understand, what do you know about the Volcano Stadium? I guess they've opened up as well. People can go there as a resource if they're evacuated.
I don't know a lot of details. I know the Walkers are awesome people, so it wouldn't surprise me if they do that. They've got a, they've got the great big huge parking lot that houses a lot, and they're not playing baseball, so I could certainly find that out, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit if the Walkers did do that.
Thank you for your perspective and your insight today, Baron. You have a safe day, okay? We're going to go to a break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Give us a call if you have an update, 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You listen to Reliable News Talk Radio. KSLM news that you can use today and every day. We are rallying up all kinds of information having to deal with the evacuation and the fire dilemma that we're here in our area. And I'm so excited to have Terry Saul and Dave Smith here in the studio co-hosting with me, going through the information. And Terry, our weather report, you know, part of this, we were under a red flag alert a couple days ago. And I was like, oh, what does that mean? Like, because of the dry conditions and the hot and then the winds that came up. It all just kind of came together at once and has caused a lot of this trouble. What are we hearing now for our weather?
They were saying that today is supposed to be a really hot day. Temperatures could reach up to 100 degrees. Mm. But as of last hour from the National Weather Service, they said that the smoke, widespread smoke, sunny with the highs around 85 today.
Okay.
So it's dropped down 15 degrees from what they originally thought it was going to be. Tonight, of course, areas of smoke, and it should clear a little bit later on tonight with the lows around 60 degrees. So it's going to calm down just a bit, and then tomorrow about 92, Friday 89, Saturday 87. So it's just going to be, you know, a little bit uncomfortable, but not as hot as it originally was planned on for today.
Well, and we want to mention, too, the community of Otis heading to the coast, continuing on 22, heading to the coast. The community of Otis, too, has been affected by fire, and a lot of that road has been shut down as well. And so if people are thinking, oh, I'm going to go to the coast, you can get away from all of this and the smoke or whatever, there really is staying home is the best thing today.
Right.
And staying off the roads, letting the emergency folks respond. You know, sometimes our human condition, we want to know what's going on, and we want to venture out and let's go up to Lions or whatever. Stay out of the way. We need to stay out of the way and let the professionals handle that, and we'll have plenty of time to go and look and see what we can do. We can get engaged and get involved, and I want to open up the phone lines. Good morning. You're joining the conversation this morning. Who are we talking to?
Hi, this is Eric Beatty, Lupus Inspection Services.
Oh, excellent.
Home inspector in Salem.
Awesome. And a friend of Dave Smith, my understanding. Thank you for calling in. You had some good advice and wisdom for our listeners today. Go ahead and share that with us.
Yeah. So I heard you guys talking about air filters, and I actually looked at mine yesterday, and it's just coated with just dust and debris and that kind of soot that's fallen from the sky there. And we were talking about changing the air filters. One also tip I was going to give is turning your furnace fan on to on. And a lot of people don't know what that is. It's if you go to your thermostat right now, you'll see a furnace fan feature, and it'll either say auto or on. Turn that over to on, and what that does is that runs your furnace fan 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put on auto, it'll kick on every once in a while, and it'll filter your air through the return duct, run it through your filter, and back out through the registers. But if you put it on to on, it does it 24/7, especially right now with everything going on. You want the cleanest air throughout your house. So turning that on to on runs through your filter, runs through the return duct, and out through your registers.
That's fantastic. That's great wisdom, and it won't run it so hard, the system so hard as well. And typically, people should change those out, what, every 3 to 6 months anyway?
Yeah, if you have it on, I recommend 3 months because, I mean, that's filtering out 24/7, but it's also the cleanest air. It helps your furnace run smoother if you run it at 3 months. That's also your AC system as well if you have an AC unit. That runs through the same ducting. So 3 months if you're doing on, which we recommend. Check it right now, everybody. And if you have a special size, like a 2-inch or a 4-inch, it may be a little bit harder to find those thicker ones. Get on Amazon, check your local hardware store. They may have those sizes. Get them in right now because I checked mine and it's just filled with debris and that's not filtering out all of that particulates in the air. So it's just more healthy for breathing for everybody. So.
I love this advice, and I know that there are people out there that are in that phase 2 or evacuation alert 2 phase, and they may have to leave. I saw on Facebook yesterday a lot of people like setting up their sprinkler systems or watering down their perimeter of their home and on the roof. Do you have any insight there for us?
Yeah, so we live out in the woods, 12 acres, kind of southwest Salem, looking over into Independence right here. And so we feel pretty safe, but at the same time, we're running our sprinkler in our front yard and keeping wood piles away from your house, any firewood that you have, any combustible material, gas, be careful of propane tanks. Anything that's close to your house, get that away from your house.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have a perimeter around your house. Keep piles of brush. Put maybe a plastic over some piles of brush that you have in your yard. Just keeping everything clean and away from the house as much as possible.
That sounds like a great plan. Again, what is your business called?
Lupitz Inspection Services.
Okay.
We work in Salem all the way through the Willamette Valley. Down to Corvallis, up to Portland.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for your insight and your wisdom today and being a part of the morning show. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
Have a great day. We want to encourage people to give us a call and give us an update, 503-589-1220.
One thing I'll add about the sprinkler idea, that I saw that going through some community pages, people putting your sprinkler on your roof and things like that. Almsville page came out and try to tell people to stop doing that. Some of these smaller communities don't have the water systems to support that.
Oh, yeah.
So if you put a sprinkler on your roof and take off or something like that, you could be taken away from emergency services and things that they use elsewhere. So
very interesting.
That specific strategy is one I would avoid in those smaller communities.
Yeah.
I was reading earlier this morning, and one of the officials, I'm not going to say who it was stating that some of the fire resources that they have are just letting things burn because they just don't have the manpower, they don't have the equipment. And if you've ever gone up through Detroit in the canyon, there are houses in the middle of nowhere, just way up there. And you got to wonder how, if those people can get out, how they're going to get out. If not, what's the loss of life going to be like when this is all said and done?
Yeah, and that's the part that we really, it's like the other shoe dropping. We don't know yet, you know, and people are concerned. Hopefully they're connected, but there are a lot of people who do, is it disparage camping? What do they call that? Out in the Nowheresville, you know, you don't have to have a permit. You just go into the national forest. And I thought about, what about them?
Yeah.
You know, how do you have no cell tower up there? You know, what? How do you know? I guess you're more of a survivalist anyway, and you know the conditions. But certainly, I think I'm wondering about the loss of life, and I'm troubled by that, quite frankly.
There's been a lot of, I know, stories I've been seeing just through social media, people going door to door. There's been lots of first responders who've been going above and beyond to make sure people were out there. I know I had some friends who were posting social media at 2 a.m. Someone they didn't know was knocking at their door saying, we were told to evacuate, get out. And then they just took off and went to the next house.
Yes.
So there's some good Samaritans there doing the good thing, just getting the word out to people and putting people in a position to be safe.
Well, and I know that there's some historic buildings and certainly the whole town of Mill City, and I'm just saddened. I know you mentioned earlier that you've shown a house in Gates, and it's probably the last house that you will show up in that area for a long time. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. We're going to go into hour two. Stick around, my friends. We're going to go up until 9 o'clock this morning, keeping us informed on what's going on. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Dave Smith, thank you for joining us this morning. I don't know if you can stick around for a little bit more. You're welcome to. Terry Soule is sticking around into the second hour. Friends, give us a call, 503-589-1220. Be a part of the morning show. Give us an update. We'll be back after this.